as we go through this 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, there's a multiplicity of instruction given to Theophilus by Luke the writer. But I don't ever want us to forget that the instruction is given to Luke, by Luke to Theophilus, it's not just for him. Jesus was not sent into the world just for Theophilus to know what he did. This stuff is written down for us that we, through patience and comfort of these scriptures, might have hope. And we ended, I believe it was, last week when we were reading in the 31st verse of the book of Luke. And before I give you our title, listen to the words that we ended with. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? I think we should build our message from this verse. I think that we should take this verse and at least ask what things are going to be done or has been done in the green tree so that we can be prepared and know what to expect in the dry. My message for tonight is, what should a child of God expect? And what did Jesus expect? Wait a minute. Didn't that sound like a disjointed title? I don't care. The Word of God didn't come out where I need to put it in such a way that you can put it in a title where people would like it. I said, what should a child of God expect? And what did Jesus expect in doing the Father's will? Roll with me, if you will. Feel what's going on. Jesus has been mistreated already. He's been beaten. He's been tried. He has been chastised for something he didn't do. More than once. He's been gone to different ones, and instead of people standing up for him, they went along with it. Well, Jesus had told the women, you really don't know what you're weeping for. You should be weeping for yourself, because it gets worse than this. I am the forerunner of what is to come. Why? Because I'm the example. I'm the one that you are going to model your life after if you're going to follow me. And if you will, let's start reading the Word of God. Let's let it talk. Verse 31, that's where I want you to start.
For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?
Jesus making this beautiful picture of himself. If they do these things to me when the wood is green, when the wood is full of life, when the wood is really strong, what will they do to you? What will they do to you when it's dry? I have the Spirit. I'm full of the Spirit. I have the power. I have direct connection with my Father in such a way that no man will ever be able to have it like I do. He'll get what he gets from me. If they do this to me, what will they do to you? Oh, I could run over there to John and show you in the 15th chapter and the 16th chapter, but I'll refrain myself. Read to me the next verse, please.
Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him.
And the Bible says, let's say that together in our mind. I don't want to make you speak up like I'm controlling you, but the Bible says that if that doesn't mean anything to you, that the Bible says you need to back up and try it again because you didn't get it the first time. That's right. James Brown says, if you don't get it the first time, back up and try it again. If you don't understand that the Bible says that there were two other criminals, malefactors, that were led with him to be put to death. He was being treated as a regular criminal, yet this is the man that heals their sick. This is the one that cleansed lepers that had never been done in Israel like that before. This is the one that could tell a man that your child lived and he'd go home. This is the one they said, never a man spake like this one. This is the man that wept for you. Yet, you take him and treat him as you would another criminal. You know how dastardly that would be for someone to talk to the president that they have right now like you would to a bum on the street? You could get arrested for that. Because if they could say, we don't know what you're up to, because you don't recognize that this position that this man has, you don't just walk up to him and put your hand in his face or say anything. But yet, this is what they're doing with him. Hmm. Oh, please read the next verse.
And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left.
When they brought him to the place called Calvary, and the Greek word is cranium, call it the skull. All those years as a boy, I used to go to a church called Mount Calvary. I didn't realize it was Mount Skull that I was going to, Mount Cranium that I was going to. But they brought him to a place called Calvary. And they crucified him, a Persian type of death that they had devised because they wanted to make sure the person was off the earth when they were being killed, this torturous type of death, where they would impale the hands, impale many times the feet, where they would beat the person ruthlessly or in a ruthless manner. They would just do what they wanted to do. Now, I don't understand why the word is ruthless whenever they're doing what they're doing to you, but that's what the word is, and they would do that to the person. And they crucified him. And one criminal on his right hand and one on his left. Now, you remember the disciples had an issue one time who would sit with him on the left hand and who would sit with him on the right. Mm-hmm. It looks as if this time when the green tree, mm-hmm. is going through what is coming his way, where the disciples. Now, don't be so hard on the disciples. If you could have gotten away, more than likely you would have gotten away too. But here's the thing. What did he expect? He told them that the Son of Man would be shamefully mistreated. Yes, he did. Peter said, No, it's not. Told him to let that be away from him. And he had to tell him to get behind you, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. He expected to be treated like this. He expected to be hurt. He expected for mankind's hatred to be poured on him. And the scripture is where he could get his expectation, let alone talking to his father. If this is what he expected, and he went through with it, what are we to expect? What do we expect if we are glorifying the Father? Are we so divorced from the Word of God that we can't see our place in this world? Are we so divorced from it that we say, well, that was just him? Well, then you don't know the scriptures. It's not just him. We're talking about you in a position of honor, Jesus. You in a position of glory, Jesus. A person that's told the truth, Jesus. That went about doing good, Jesus. That did the things that were right, Jesus. That pleased the Father, Jesus. That's full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus. And you are being mistreated, beaten, hurt, and treated as a criminal? How dare you not see the picture that when something happens our way and goes against us, that if we're doing the will of God, there's something that we should have our mind ready to expect. That's all I'm trying to tell us. Theophilus is getting a beautiful message, but don't you let it stop with Theophilus. So you have one criminal on the right, one criminal on the left, and the 34th verse says what?
And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God.
Understand these things that have happened. Understand that Jesus said if they did these things in a green tree, What would they do inside of a one that is dry? I submit to you that the scoffing and things, even from the time he said that, it was embarrassing. It was a deplorable thing for them to have him with two criminals. Then they took him, and another thing they did, they crucified him. I say when they crucified him, that was another insult. And while they were doing it, they were doing the cursing when they were making him look bad as far as they were concerned. He asked the Father to remove the guilt of what they did from them because they don't know what they're doing. Does that mean that they didn't know they were crucifying him? As some fool is apt to say, and I did say fool. Does that mean that they didn't know they was killing him? I submit to you that's not what it meant. But they did not realize that they were going into the hand of Satan so deeply that they were showing this much disdain for God, that these men were supposed to be men of God and the love of God, and that they were showing utter contempt for his word, utter contempt for the one that he had made to be the one that would save them, utter contempt for the one that had the Spirit of God without measure, and that they wanted to replace him with themselves, so much so that they did everything in an illegal and an ungodly way against him, but they didn't know what they were doing. Because often sin doesn't consider the cost. You killing God's son. You killing God's son. They wouldn't have killed Pilate's son. They wouldn't have killed Caesar's son. They wouldn't have went over to one of these other major countries at that time and killed one of those emperor's son. They don't realize, and that they're killing God's son. Remember the parable? I'll send my son. They'll reverence him. Mm-hmm. And in the parable that Jesus gave where he had sent the servants plenty of times, and then he sent his son and said, what will the king do when they kill his son? They don't know what they do. They don't realize they're fulfilling prophecy. They don't realize that they're setting the pattern for the end to now get ready to take place. They don't realize that this thing is so egregious. Because Jesus had stated, the Father judges no man. In John 5. But that he commits all judgment to the Son. What is special about this one? That Jesus has asked the Father to forgive. I know my daddy. I talked to him in the wee hours of the morning. We're friends. I honor him. I respect him. I really know who I am fully. And the disdain and the contempt that you show unto me, you show towards him. And I must make intercession for you because I don't know. I believe that he doesn't know fully what God would do to them right then. Now somebody say, you saying he was God, he didn't know everything. I'm just saying the magnitude of God's wrath, I think, would have been laid out there right then. Tim, where do you get something like that from? Do you remember Abimelech? The one when Abraham went there? When Abraham and this man, all he did was had Sarai. Didn't kill her. And God told that man, you go to Abraham and let him pray for you. If he don't, you're a dead man. Now, if this is what God would do for his friend Abraham, what would he do for his son? Well, he said they don't know what they do. The implication of that could go on for weeks and weeks. But rest assured, when you think about who God the Father is and you killing his son, but this is what he expected. He said he'd be killed. He said that if you didn't take up your cross and follow him, you couldn't be a disciple. This is what he expects. What do we expect? If you expect them to love us and we represent him, you're not being wise. You're not counting the cost. You're not really looking at the scriptures. So he asked the Father to forgive them. And did they care about that? Did they care about that petition? Did they care about that intercession? No. they showed even more contempt. They parted his garment and cast lots for it. We're going to plunder him. He's dead anyway. He got something on worth something of value. Let's don't tear it up. Let's see who get to get it so they can wear it around. It's going to be mine. I'm almost just taking your stuff and making it mine right there in front of your face while you die. Instead of having something confident to say to you, I'll make fun. Please read. They're not through. Verse 35 again, please.
And the people stood by.
And the people looked.
Watching.
Yes.
But the rulers,
the chief, these are the ones when I say they don't know what they're doing. I submit to you, these men, the rulers, the chief. That's what the word is. Those chief men, they don't realize they're going against God's word. They don't realize that they're showing contempt for God. They're fighting against the Holy Spirit of God. They're killing the Son of God. They're defying God. They put the Roman government above God. They have put themselves on the pedestal. And God, we will not have this man to rule over us. We will not have it. And they scoffed at the Son of Glory. How many people, when you talk to them about God and you really show Jesus as he is, either in your life or your word, they still scoff? Mm. Rulers! People that are supposed to be teaching about God. Mm. What did Jesus expect? He expected this. What do we expect? Mm. Do we expect the world to love us? And if we do, we are what are truly going to be damned fools. And I mean damned, D-A-M-N-N-E-D. D-A-M-N-E-D. Fools! Fools! Because you expecting the world to love you when they hate the master. Mm. And you say you follow the master and they're going to love you. How are you going to do it better than the master, the teacher, the prince of glory, Theophilus, son? You enter into a war, and the chief architect is being killed. And the Bible says the rulers, they derided him and scoffed at him, saying, what?
He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God.
He is not no savior. Look at him. He can't save himself. How he gonna save Jewry? How he gonna save us Jews when he can't save them? He can't fight. He don't know how to fight. Nobody wants to follow him. He is not gonna lead us out of Roman domination. He is a fake and a fraud. He saved others, he said. They said, let him save them. If we're going to put the test out there. We're going to make a false test. If you be the Christ, the chosen of God, save yourself. Do you hear Satan? Do you hear Satan, saints? If you be the Son of God, jump down. If you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, bow down to me. If you be the Son of God, come off that cross. Save yourself. We'll follow you. He left Jesus for a little season and he came back. Same thing, same message, same thing that's going to come to us. Sometimes your own mind, if you really serve God, you can do this and you just go ahead and prove it. You don't have to take anything off anybody. Sometimes you need to ask God, do I take it? Sometimes you might find out you don't. But when it comes down that you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake, learn to understand that this is for righteousness' sake, and this is what you need to expect if you're going to be like Jesus. Mm. Read some more of the sweetened word of God. And I just want to say one more time, I know I have beat this, but it's not a dead horse. This is not a dead horse that I'm beating right here. No, it's one of those things you hit and they bounce back up because it's got plenty of life in it. If he be the chosen of God, if he's the anointed, if the chosen of God was the king, he was the one that you anointed his head. If the chief, the high priest would be anointed of God, if he be the chosen of God. The chosen of God was the one to lead the people. The chosen of God was the one to maintain God's laws. The chosen of God was the one to get forgiveness of the people. The chosen of God was the only one that could go in the place of the Holy of Holies with you on his shoulders in those little black stones as the onyx. And the breastplate. If he be, and you are mocking him, say, if you be the chosen of God, don't go into God's presence. Because that's where he's going to eventually go. To be right there at the right hand of God. They don't know what they're doing. But they mocking. A man's mouth is his worst enemy many times. Please read.
The soldiers also mocked him.
So the Gentilian people, the Goyim, they also mocked him because they're following the lead of the people that was supposed to be the people of God. How many times do the people of God cause God to be blasphemed and cause his son not to be respected by what we do? Don't just look at those men, what they did. Look at the lives that we live in, so-called church people now. When you mock Jesus, if he's supposed to be the son of God, he's supposed to love everybody. If he is the son of God, he's supposed to save everybody, and he's not supposed to have no kind of statement of his own. And you have him mocked because you describe him differently than he is, and you teach the ungodly to mock him. And have you noticed in this world when you mention Jesus, they don't like it? Go to school and mention Jesus in some kind of dedicatory thing and see what happened. Please read.
The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.
I believe that the people that are supposed to be the people of God, they give the enemies of God power to blaspheme, and often they say the same thing. The same thing. They are saying the same thing that the leaders did. When you don't respect God's chosen, when you don't respect God's word, when you don't respect God's righteousness, why would anybody that's not a part of what you are respect them? Look at how you have little respect for God's word. And the soldiers come up and offer him vinegar as if that's going to really relieve some of the pain or something, whereas he's still dying. Please read the word of God for me.
There was also an inscription over him. This is the King of the Jews.
And there was a writing that was above him that told the truth. But it was not to make the truth known in the sense that it was. Let Tim explain. What did Jesus expect? He expected to go to his glory eventually. He expected to die for the sins of the world. He expected that one day that these people would know that he truly was the king of the Jews. But did he look like a king? Here's where the rubber meets the road. And they were not saying it because we think this is a great and mighty king. We put a purple robe on him. We put thorns on his head. And we said, look at what your king is like. Your king is up here naked. He's bloody. And nobody is here to help him. This is your king. Do you see what we can do to your king? We can subjugate your king. We can stomp your king. We can beat your king. We can kill your king. Don't mess with us. We're Rome. And that means we cannot talk about your God. This is what Jesus expected. But the Bible says he despised the shame. Oh, yeah. So I was to go to Hebrews chapter 12. We're talking about why he despised the shame. And that he sit at the right hand of the Father. Yeah. They take his own words and try to use them against him. To mock him. At this particular time, he does not look like the king of the Jews. Insofar as what they would think the king would look like. He looks like someone else, just a regular criminal. I submit to you that there was a mocking good time. If this is all you got for a king, our king, when he rides around with that eagle, that means we are victorious. We are in power. We have processions open with our generals. They have the slaves coming, getting ready to go to death. And this is your, look at him. This is all you Jews are worth. Look at your king. He is nothing. Absolutely nothing. He don't even deserve to wear his clothes. And this is your king. How insulting. How do people try to insult us when they come to Jesus? You call Jesus God, and look at how you buckle. You act like you see that same one on the cross that the Jews was ashamed of. Oh, you think Jesus is so and so and so? Oh yeah, he a good prophet, but he ain't God. What about Muhammad? Well, you know, he's a good man like Dr. Martin Luther King, some of them say, or Gandhi. And you let them make you ashamed of him like he's on this cross looking bad. I'm going to show you that I'm telling the truth. And you don't honor him for who he is. And the wicked do that. But he expected it. He told me he'd be mocked. What are we to expect? Do we expect better than what he got? Or do we not fully pay attention to what he did receive? Read some more of the sweetest word of God in verse 39.
One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him.
Railed at him. They railed. They scoffed. He blasphemed him. Why? Because you don't look like a king. You look like a chump. You look just as bad as us. We are criminals. We're dirty and we're criminals. And no doubt we think we were trying to do something worthwhile. But we saw you as an imposter. Talking about you a king. You know, ain't a doggone king. You're like a fool up here dying. And he railed on him, read.
Saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.
And the word here, rail, blasphemo. Listen to Loanita. Where they use that word. To speak against someone in such a way as to harm or to injure his or her reputation. To revile. To defame. To blaspheme. Now here's a criminal railing against him while he's on the cross. I submit to you that when you call him a king and you put that up there, that's not to elevate him in the eyes of the people. I can't see that there. And so he says, if you be the anointed, you don't look like a king, and you don't look like a Christ, if you be so much, it's like I got to get me at least one D again, even while I'm dying. You supposed to be all of that. Look at you. You look like a fool. Look at you. You're bloody. Look at you. You're naked. We can see your private parts. Look at you. You're supposed to be a savior. You're supposed to be the Messiah. You're a joke. And I'm giving you your just due from my vantage point. Save yourself. Come on down. You can't, can you? But look at verse 40. Verse 40 is the antithesis of what's going on. Verse 40 shows me that God's light can show even in the midst of injustice. God's light of glory can show even in the midst of your worst time if you will hold firm to God, knowing what to expect, being prepared for what to expect, and being true to God. Read verse 40. Let's see what happens.
But the other criminal
rebuked him. He scolded him. He put him in check. A criminal rebuked another criminal. He derided Jesus, and Jesus gonna rebuke, but the other criminal gonna revile or rebuke him, saying, what?
Do you not fear God?
Do you not have any reverence? Are you not scared of God? Notice that what he said. He didn't say, do you fear Jesus? Do you fear these people? He said, God. He went to God. That's a depth of scripture a depth of insight. Mm-hmm. It's like, what did this man grasp? Do you say it again now? Read it again now.
Do you not fear God since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?
Fool! You don't fear God. You're about to die. You don't have as long as you think. Do you not fear God at this moment? At this moment before you die, do you still not fear God? Seeing that you are in the same condemnation, you're about to die. You don't see it yet. Wow. Please read.
And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.
wait a minute. He says, we indeed are filthy, dirty, and we deserve to be hung up here. The judgment that we got is right. We knew what we did was wrong. And I'm going to judge myself that this is righteous what's coming my way. And yours too. Because if I judge myself, I can judge you. If I get the beam out of my eye, I can see clearly about you. What we did, we, you and I, we deserve, we justly here, for we receive our due reward. This is not unjust, but whatever it is we did wrong. You know it, and I know it. But this man, read it in your version.
But this man has done nothing wrong.
Now, I got to roll you back now. Palestine is not the biggest place in the world. Jesus was talked about all over. I mean, even the Caesar wanted to see him. Herod wanted to see him. I mean, not the Caesar, Herod wanted to see him. He'd heard about him. This guy makes me feel he'd seen Jesus before. Maybe he had ate some of the fish before. Maybe he had ate some of the loaves. Maybe he had been there when he healed somebody. I don't know. But he said, this man, listen to me, has done nothing wrong. How many people do you know that you can say has done nothing wrong? At least, well, you know, he did used to steal. Or he did. He said, this man has done nothing wrong. Now, let's get our mind right. What was Jesus crucified for? Claiming to be the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Claiming to be Messiah. Claiming to be King. Claiming to be the one that would sit on the right hand of the Father when the high priest tore his garment, right? And this man said he's done nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. What did he see? Mm-hmm. Remember, Jesus wasn't being hung for molesting children. Mm-hmm. He wasn't being for stealing. He was being, claiming that he was the Son of God, and they knew what that means, the Messiah, the Son of David, the one that would judge the earth. And this man said he's done nothing wrong. Naturally, this man had enough judgment to know that if Jesus had blasphemed the Father with a statement like that and it wasn't true, he'd done wrong. Mm-hmm. The man said he's done nothing wrong. What did Jesus expect? He expected to be treated this way, but I believe he also expected that the life that I lived, that the glory and the light of God's truth would come through eventually and that people would see it. Mm. What do we expect? We don't know where and we don't know how. Please read.
And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Now, if this statement right here does not make your heart feel good, then you missed the picture. The sufferings, the injustice, being not believed by his family, being tried repeatedly, and even at his worst, when he did not turn his back on the Father, this man looked and saw a naked Jesus, as far as I know about crucifixion, a bloody Jesus, as far as I know when men whip you as long as they want to, a mocked Jesus, a Jesus that has been condemned by the whole religious authority of that day, by the government of that day, has picked him. You're supposed to be a king and deliver your people. Look at you now. But this man, Tim, don't be so as I have to. This man says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What kingdom did it look like Jesus was getting ready to come to? The Romans surely didn't look like he was coming to a kingdom. Those chief rulers didn't think he was getting ready to come to a kingdom. When they mocking the other criminal didn't look like he looked like he was going to come into a kingdom. He looked like he was something sent for and couldn't come. Mm. Yet people take this passage and say, you know, you can wait till your last minute. Mm. And just say, Lord, have mercy and Jesus will forgive you. But you don't look at what this man has done. This man reflected over what he had seen before. Mm-hmm. This man reflected over that, yes, I am wrong. I am very wrong. And at this juncture in my life, seeing him like this, whatever it was I saw, God has been just what he's allowed to happen to me. And I will not say anything wrong against God. I fear God. What's happening today is wrong. It is so wrong. It's a travesty. Look at me. I have nothing to do with this. I'm dying. I have nothing to do with this. But I ask you, please, when you come to your kingdom, when you come to your kingdom, I know it. I know it. I know you're going to. I know you the truth. Remember me. This man, and he has spoke volumes. This man said, I know that there's life after death. This man said, I know I got an eternal life. That throws back in him when he said, we under the same condemnation. I ought to let you know that he knew that there was something that was horrible coming. I fear. But if, hallelujah, bless his everlasting name that sit between the cherubim. If you can look at the sincerity of my heart, I wouldn't have anything to do with putting you to death like this. I know who you are. You're the one. You can really forgive. Just like you asked the Father to forgive them, but they know not what they do. I heard you. When you come into your kingdom, which I obviously is not right here, remember me, please. And Jesus said in verse what? 43?
Truly.
Truly. Wait a minute. When Jesus said truly, we call it amen. In Greek it's amen. Truly, what about it?
I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
I bet he smiled. I bet he forgot the pain for a moment. If you truly see Jesus like he is, and he says, today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Now, the ancient Persians, they use the word paradosis. They get it from the Persians. It's what they call a borrowed word. And paradise, to those people, when you get to walk into an enclosed garden with kings. Some people call it Abraham's bosom. It's not a place where you sleep. It's a place of cognition and alertness. Jesus on the cross expects to still have the kingdom. He expects the mistreatment. He expects to be killed. But obviously he expects to rule. He expects to live. He expects to rule. And he expects when in that particular state after he dies to be in complete control. And so he tells the man that looks towards him, today you will be with me. Let that comfort your heart. Not hell that you know you deserve, and you knew you deserve. You said you had condemnation. I said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Oh, glory to Jesus, bless his everlasting name. What are we to expect? We know what Jesus expected. Jesus expected the pain. Jesus expected the ridicule. Jesus expected the death. But he also expected to be able to rule and reign after the death, and that he would be received of the Father. What are we to expect? We should expect ridicule. We should be able to expect to be killed. Even if we don't get killed, we also be able to expect to be able to rule with him and to reign with him and to be with the Father forever. Our goal should be set on not how we necessarily lead this life, whether it's a death that's caused by killing, murder, being made fun of, but where do we end up? Pleasing the Father at all costs guarantees it. Honoring Jesus as he should be honored guarantees it. Don't underestimate Jesus. Don't underestimate what we're supposed to do. What did Jesus expect as a son of God? And what should we expect as followers of him if we're going to serve God? That's the question. That's the question. Are we ready? we see him? Do we see him? Do we see him as that man did? Or do we just think he's just a religious figure? It'll determine how you live. It'll determine how you walk. It'll determine the impact that you make on this life. Father, thank you for your blessed, your eternal, your righteous word. Your word does not paint a rosy picture for us here and now. It paints a picture that's accurate. It paints a picture that truly we are one with you, so much so that we get identified with you. Let us not take that for granted, but let us also realize with that privilege, there is a responsibility. And as we expect the responsibility to weigh on us, let us not forget the privileges that we're looking forward to. We gain some of the privilege now, but there's a privilege one day to rule and reign with you. Help us, guide us, and let the very things that we do, think about, and instruct our families with, especially those of us that are parents, that we focus in like your son did, so that we can stand the day of testing, that we can be faithful to the end. In the blessing name of your holy child, Jesus the Christ.